on WMUK 102.1 FM, online at WMUK.org from Western Michigan University, 7 minutes after 10 o'clock. Elizabeth Blair is here today. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thanks.
I'm thrilled to have you here to talk about a live concert on Friday from a group we're going to hear about called Latitude 49. The program is called She, Music by Women Composers. And Elizabeth, as a graduate student at Western Michigan University, this has become more than a project, more than a passion. It's really taken up your thought and life for the time being, at least.
Definitely.
Could you tell me a little about what your project is, Listening to Ladies?
Right. Well, Listening to Ladies was born from shock I experienced when I transitioned from the singer-songwriter world into the classical music world. I had been a singer-songwriter for many years in Chicago, and I had never really experienced sexism particularly, and I saw equal representation across the gender spectrum. But when I started to learn to compose music and learn music theory and learn music history, I found that the books did not include anybody, almost anybody, that was female. And this was shocking to me. I guess I'd always known. I mean, you think about a classical music composer. The first thing you think of is a white man with white crazy hair. You know, you think of Beethoven, you think of Mozart, you think of these people who are not just male and not just white, but also dead. So, I mean, that's the first problem, really. I don't know if we can put them in a hierarchy, but the first problem is that it is very difficult for living composers to you know, wrestle and get a place on the program over somebody who has such a long-standing popularity like Bach or Beethoven or whatnot. But then you add in, you know, women, being a woman, it's made even more difficult. So a living woman is very, it's got a mountain in front of her. But once I started looking outside of the books and started looking on the beautiful web, which is just, I'm so glad it's there, I found thousands and thousands and thousands of women. And there are women all around the world making their careers in composition, and have been for the whole 20th century and before that. And they just aren't included. They're not included in the textbooks. They're not included in the curricula. They're not included in the concerts. I mean, the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra has been doing some great statistics, and they looked at the 2015-16 concert season with 89 symphony orchestras in this country. And of their programs, only 2% of them were works by women. So you've got, on the one hand, thousands of women composers who are working professionally right now and have been for a long time. And on the other hand, you've got people not playing their works. And it is a little bit better in the chamber music world, which is what this concert is going to be. It's chamber ensemble. Partly because it's easier to get funding. It's easier to get a smaller venue. And, you know.
Now, did it cross your mind to just sort of give up being a woman composer, or to quit?
Sadly, yes. And that is what started Listening to Ladies. I had that shock of the only woman in my, you know, review for the entrance exams for grad school, where it was from the, you know, 13th century, Hildegard of Bingen.
Yeah.
And that was through six different, you know, periods of music history. And, you know, it's not an uncommon feeling. Clara Schumann also said something, I'm going to paraphrase here, but she basically said, nobody else has been able to do it, so why should it be me? Why should I be able to be a composer? And it's a very, very sad feeling. And my response was actually to go online, and I printed off all these Victorian women composers who were just amazing and didn't care that the cultural norms were totally against their avocation. And they, you know, I had Ethel Smythe on my wall looking at me, staring at me. I printed her off, I framed her, and I put her above my desk, because if they could do it, I mean, she just, you know, she had to dress as an old lady just to go to a concert when she was young, because young women couldn't go out alone, you know.
So she disguised herself.
She did
to attend music.
She
concert.
Got a wig and she put newspapers around her, and she borrowed her house, her landlady's like house dress. And she hobbled to the concert in the town hall.
Yeah. This is Ethel Smith.
Ethel Smith, okay, yeah.
I'm going to get her picture myself.
She's amazing. And she actually lost her hearing towards the end of her life. And so towards the middle of her life. So she wrote a bunch of memoirs, which is where I get these anecdotes from. Her memoirs are amazing. But it definitely crossed my mind, you know, can I do this? Clearly there didn't seem to be anybody forging the path for me. So it wasn't until I did look online and I set this little challenge for myself to try and feature one woman per day on this little Facebook page I made. This was last June, June 2015. And I didn't know if it would last a month. You know, maybe I would run through all the women composers that had ever existed in a month. But as it is, I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of women that I haven't featured. I've got lists and lists and lists. And right now I think I've featured about 370. Since then,
do you still post them on Facebook as well as your website?
Yeah, so it started as Facebook, and then I created a website, and I also have a Twitter, and it's become a bit of an obsession. So there's the Daily Showcase that started the whole thing, and then there's a concert series. This one is the second in the series. The first one was last fall, and those are difficult to put on. It's hard to find funding. It's hard to, you know, get yourself stuff together. And then the biggest chunk is a podcast that I've been working on since last October, where I've been going around and interviewing women composers around the country and around the world. I haven't been going around the world, but I've been doing online interviews with those women who are farther away about their lives and about what it's like to be a woman in this field, and then about their music, and they're about half-hour-long episodes, and I've released two so far. So, and I've got plenty more to come.
They're all at listeningtoladies.com.
Yes.
And where you also post video of performances of music by women composers, a great variety. In fact, I didn't realize there were only two podcasts to date, because there's a lot to look at here and there's lots to click around and see. So, Elizabeth Blair, you are the director of Listening to Ladies, and the concert series, the second concert in your series, is this Friday. At what time and where?
So it's at 8 o'clock, and it's in the Dalton Center Recital Hall on WMU's campus. And I'm really excited about it.
Found some people out there who also care and are passionate about women composers and women's music. So who did you invite?
Well, let me just say that Latitude 49 is just an incredible group. I actually approached them last spring with nothing except, you know, the Facebook page and a sort of bare website. And I said, could you consider, I noticed that their repertoire had a lot of women on it. And I said, could you consider doing a concert? You know, I don't know how I'll pay you, but I'll figure it out. And they answered with a resounding yes. They got very excited, and they actually created an entire program, which they are now touring around. They just did a concert. They call it She, and they just did a concert in Detroit, which was a huge success. And they've got, you know, a whole list of tour dates for this program. And so I feel so grateful that they not only said, yeah, we'll do it. They said, yes, we'll do it. And we're so excited. And this is changing everything. And our whole season has changed now.
That is quite gratifying. tell me a little about Latitude 49 and where they're from and how they formed, if you know.
Heavens to Betsy. You know, I don't actually remember what time. They're a Midwestern ensemble.
Right. Latitude 49, you know, here we are.
Yeah, right. Oh, right. Yeah. I think I realized that way back when, and then I forgot. But yeah, they're definitely a Midwestern local. I'm not exactly sure. I think they live in some different places, but they're in Chicago this weekend for Ear Taxi Festival, which is a festival that was started by Augusta Reed Thomas, who is a composer based out of University of Chicago.
Oh, yes.
And it's a new music
festival. Yes. There was a percussion ensemble that came in the last couple of years that did one of her works. forgotten. But I think Latitude 49 may have originated in Ann Arbor, if I'm not mistaken, as students at the University of Michigan. And they continue to perform now that they're out of school. They are mixed, right? It's not just strings, not just woodwinds, but a combination.
Yeah, absolutely. It's there's a sax, I believe, and a violin and piano and percussion and cello.
They can make a lot of different kinds of sounds.
Yes, definitely.
Well, Elizabeth, you brought along some examples of current music written by women composers. And why don't we listen to one of those now? How about the Jennifer Higdon piece you brought along? Jennifer Higdon, I've paid attention to as a composer for a long time. She's won the Pulitzer Prize, I think. And she wrote a great flute concerto. And
you play the flute, right?
I do play the flute. Is this one a flute piece at all?
It's more of a all ensemble piece as far as I can tell. It's very energetic. And she actually gives Zaka is what it's called. And she gives the definition here. It's a verb to do the following almost simultaneously and with great speed. Zap, sock, race, turn, drop, sprint.
Kind of like a comic book inspiration for Jennifer Higdon. My guest is Elizabeth Blair. We're here to talk about Latitude 49 appearing at 8 p.m. Friday night in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Let's hear music of Jennifer Higdon. We just heard a live performance by Latitude 49. The piece is called Zaka, and it's by Jennifer Higdon. My guest today is Elizabeth Blair, who is bringing Latitude 49 to Western Michigan University for this concert on Friday. Again, tell listeners the details of the concert, when and where.
Okay, the concert is at 8 o'clock p.m. on Friday in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. That's on WMU's campus, and we've got three-tier ticket prices, and you can purchase the tickets that evening. The box office opens at 7, or you can call Miller Auditorium or go on their website.
MillerAuditorium.com.
Got it.
387-2300 for the box office phone number. This is a part of the New Sounds Festival in collaboration with Listening to Ladies. And if you haven't heard of ListeningToLadies.com, I encourage you to click on listeningtoladies.com and see some of Elizabeth's stories with women composers, great video performances of music by women composers. You told your story earlier in the hour of arriving in grad school with the determination to become a composer, but having transferred from another world, a more egalitarian world of singer-songwriters, and suddenly realizing that as a woman, you couldn't find other women's voices in this field. And so you went to work to find them. And turns out there were hundreds and hundreds, just not being recognized.
Not in the canon, not in the official canon, which is what, you know, professors and teachers put in, you know, in their curricula for their classes.
The textbooks.
And yeah. Which is what gets on the concerts, you know, for ensembles and student ensembles. And so to not be in the canon is basically to be ignored. but they do get performed. It's not that they're utterly unrecognized, but not anything like the recognition given to their male counterparts.
Everybody else seems to say, take that as, okay, that's just how it is, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. As I began this project featuring women composers online in a concert series and doing a podcast of interviews, interviewing these women, I am finding more and more pockets. I also thought, you know, maybe nobody cares, nobody's doing anything. But I have been finding pocket after pocket of passionate caring. and it's just a matter of using, I think, the internet and, you know, globalism and everything to bring us all together, to bring our efforts together, to really accomplish more.
Have your faculty advisors been there to, like, encourage you in this project?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dr. Biggs, Dr. Christopher Biggs and Dr. Lisa Koons have both been incredible. I actually met Dr. Koons before I started grad school when I was still deciding which place to go to. She was the composer in residence at the Women Composers Festival in Hartford, which I went to because I was just so excited that such a thing existed. And as I mentioned, such a thing, it's coming up in other parts of the world too. People are starting to put on festivals of women's music and more often. But this particular one has been going for some years, I think over a decade. And I saw her work performed there, and I saw some amazing talks and met some amazing women. And it was a really great introduction to WMU for me, because she, as far as I was concerned, represented, you know, the school, and she was doing awesome things and really speaking up for women. And she gave an amazing lecture as well as having a performance at that festival. So, and then Dr. Biggs last semester actually gave his time to help me with the podcast. We did an independent study, and that was invaluable. That was fantastic.
In order to produce a podcast for the website listeningtoladies.com. And now on Friday, another component of your project is going to be realized when this group, Latitude 49, takes the stage. That was a live performance we just heard of Zaka, and it had some great features to it, intense excitement, and then this wonderful kind of relaxed period where we did get to hear all the instruments as kind of soloists. So it really is a mixed ensemble. Let's go over again some of the sounds that Latitude 49 brings, instrument-wise.
Sure. We've got violin, cello, sax, clarinet, piano, and percussion. They're really engaged in an energetic group.
Jennifer Higdon is one of the more recognizable women composers of today, and that piece is on the program Friday. Who are some of the other composers that are represented on Friday's concert?
Well, they're featuring Lily Boulanger, which is, as far as I can tell, the only historical
right, that
woman.
Goes back a ways.
Mm-hmm, she does go back a ways. And they're also featuring Joan Tower, who is another giant figure on
a towering figure
a towering figure indeed in contemporary music. She's been really successful with her career, and we've got Annika Sokolowski, who is as far as I know a little bit lesser well known. She's younger, but it's a beautiful piece. And we've got Shulamit Ran, who's also been really coming up in the world as a composer and just contributing incredible things to the music world. Ingrid Stolzel was actually here in April, and I got the chance to interview her. And the first episode of my podcast features that interview with her.
Oh, what's her story?
She's a transplant from Germany. She came over when she was, I think, 20, and She's in her 40s now, I believe, and she is teaching down in Kansas, at the University of Kansas. I always get those universities mixed up.
Too.
I think it's University of Kansas.
Jayhawk or something else, yeah.
But she's really, her piece is going to be, I'm very excited about it. I actually used the song that is going to be, the piece that's going to be performed, The More Things Change. I used that in my promo video for the podcast because it's just so beautiful. It's just delightful. And I believe she's adding saxophone to it for this performance. So it's going to be different and new and lovely.
All great things that living composers can contribute to a concert. The pieces can morph, the instrumentation can change.
Yes, exactly.
All with the agreement and interest of the living composer.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, obviously you can rearrange historical pieces, but it's so cool to be able to work with the composer.
Yeah. And is it scary to interview some of these composers?
Definitely. It would be scary, and it might be scary beforehand. I might get the jitters, but when I meet these women, they're so kind, and they're so grateful, and they're so open, without exception. Every single person I've interviewed has been just a delight to speak with, and so, you know, I'm immediately put at my ease.
Do you ask them pretty much anything, or do you, research and go through all their pieces of music and biography beforehand?
What I do is I definitely research them, and I put together a set of questions about their childhood, whether they received support in their childhood to pursue music, what kind of family they had for that, what kind of atmosphere. Moving into when they decided to study composition, and when was the first time they ever heard that a woman composer existed, or when was the first time they met a woman composer, and then moving forward through like what has life been like as a composer who is also a woman. Ingrid Stölzel was talking about times that she's been the only person, the only woman invited to a festival or to a conference, and the sort of the way that feels. And then, of course, we talk about, their experience as a woman growing up in their careers. And then we talk about their music sort of in two halves. And we play their music in the podcast. We sort of weave it in to the interview. You get to hear clips of that, and you get to really, I think you get to know the composer and their work pretty intimately in a very short period of time. That's my goal.
ListeningToLadies.com and Latitude 49 this Friday at 8 o'clock. We're about to listen to another live performance by Latitude 49, this time by Gabriella Smith. What's the name of this piece?
It's called, and I hope I'm going to pronounce this correctly, Huascarán, and it's referring to the highest mountain in Peru. Smith spent some time backpacking there earlier this year, and so this piece was inspired by that landscape and the way a landscape that's so epic and beautiful can change you.
Well, let's hear it. music of Gabriella Smith. It sounded more like a rock concert than a classical concert.
Yeah, it had a lot of energy and forward motion.
Absolutely. That noise music and was put out by Latitude 49. They're a mixed chamber ensemble that you, Elizabeth, are hosting on Friday at the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Music begins at 8 p.m. It's a program called She, All Women Composers.
Eight women composers, in fact.
Fantastic. And as we've already witnessed this hour, the language, musical attitudes of women composers are all across the spectrum. You'll hear things from the Smith piece to Higdon to Lily Boulanger, who was in the 1920s and 30s active in Paris, her sister Nadia, a very famous music teacher, and music of Loya Kono, Shulamit Ron, Gabriella Smith, Ms. Sokolovsky, and you mentioned Ms. Stolzel. Mm-hmm. And Joan Tower. Mm-hmm. So a really exciting program of music by women composers. And if people cannot actually make it to Friday, I encourage them to visit listeningtoladies.com, which is where a great deal of your work is visible.
Yes.
To the public.
Yes, it's for the public.
Let's wrap it up by having you again explain why you started Listening for Ladies and what people can find there.
Listening to Ladies was inspired by the lack of visibility of women composers in textbooks, in the canon, on radio shows, and in concert halls, which is not just my opinion, but statistically documented. It's quite bad. The statistic that really got me going and gave me energy was finding out last spring that this fall, a piece by a woman composer will be premiered staged at the Metropolitan Opera House for the first time since 1903.
Oh, that's a ridiculous gap.
And when you hear, that, and the 1903 was the only other time. And when you hear that, when I heard that, it shocked me. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I mean, it seems like in every other avenue of life, every other career, we've lost the term woman. We don't say woman doctor. We don't say woman lawyer. We've moved on from that. But with composers, everyone, including women, still use woman composer. It's like we're trapped in the Victorian age and we've got to get out.
Okay, Elizabeth, let's do some work together and once again remind listeners that the concert is Friday at 8 p.m. at the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Thank you so much for coming in to talk about it.
Thanks for having me.